Well, good morning, everyone. Trust that you had a wonderful Christmas time with your family, your friends, your neighbors, whoever you were gathering with. And this morning, we're going to begin building upon our biblical expectations that we covered in 2019. We want to share some thoughts, and later Larry's going to share some scriptures in anticipation of a healthy and prosperous journey through 2020. Last December, about this time, we introduced the teaching focus for 2019, which was raising the bar of our expectations. Throughout this year, we've presented truths for your consideration, for your evaluation, all in prayerful anticipation that the power of God's Word and the presence of His Holy Spirit that is within you would energize your believing heart to extraordinary levels of trust and confidence, that it would refresh where we needed refreshing, that it would build where we needed building, that it would instruct us where we lacked. Because it is within our confident trust in God that He directs our paths to spiritual, physical, and material supplies for situations that would be readily received by the uniqueness of who we are as individuals. It's not one size fits all. Whatever it is we may need to conquer, obstacles that impede our desires for change, things like that, keeping the reality of God being I am, remember, He's whatever we need Him to be. We want to keep that cognizance of that in our hearts at all times. We should not, and I say, NOT, adopt a better me method, because it is the current number one approach in the senses realm. I mean, we see fads throughout the year, and everybody's on board for this, everybody's on board for that. But there's not one thing that's for everybody. But God is the one who is for everybody. Because a lot of those current fads, they are the way people approach things in the senses realm for reaching and accomplishing a goal. Proverbs chapter 3 is clear that in everything we can and should look to God. We have His faithful promise that He sees, He hears, and He answers. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and I'll do this in the King James. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. The Young's Literal Translation offers an uncommon sentence structure to word this. It has a distinct impact, and I do want to share it with you. So the Young's Literal of 5 and 6 says, "Trust unto Jehovah with all thy heart, and unto thine own understanding lean not. In all thy ways know thou him." Know God in all your ways. And He doth make straight thy paths. And in that making straight the crooked paths and so forth, it indicates that He will not only direct our path, but He will remove those obstacles from our path that those supposed number one trends in the world are going to do for you. So it really is God who has our back, and we can never forget that. God has your back. In Isaiah 58, verse 8, in the New Living Translation, it states, "Your salvation will come like the dawn, and your wounds will quickly heal. Your godliness will lead you forward." Your godliness, the way that you cleave into the word and live it, your godliness will lead you forward, And the glory of the Lord, which your godliness brings, will protect you from behind. So that's why I say he is the one that has our back. That's why scriptures warn us to be cautious in receiving counsel and advice from the world. And I think of the world, that includes advertisements, that includes articles. If you want to accomplish this, do this. The, you know, the 10 things organized people do, the 20 things rich people do. You know, I doubt any of them are speak in tongues and give. You know? Oh, gosh. So, this careful discernment is important on any day of the year, but especially as we approach the first day of a new year when folks are looking to set New Year's resolutions in an effort to improve themselves or establish new habits. The scriptures knit together beautifully to promote personal transformation. Given any category of life, godly change proceeds from the heart, where they become outwardly manifested. So it begins in here, in the heart of the mind. And then as we think that way, guess what? The body responds and it begins to live that way. So then others can see it in the senses realm. It's not the other way around. It's not fake it till you make it or all these different things, approaches. Do this 21 days and you'll have the heart of God. You may have a new habit, but you may not have the heart of God at the end of 21 days. So we may say we know that in God alone is the illumination for our feet and the light for the path ahead of us. But the question is, do our results betray us in the end? We won't reap the spiritual blessings, the spiritual confidence to believe the biblical expectations we have come to know. Do we know and believe? We know so many things. I mean, gosh, I don't have to sit and think for very long to find places where I need to be on believing it. I look at a situation in my life and maybe something that's just been dragging on way too long that I've learned to live with, some little frustration or some little thing that just always bugs me in the end. Well, I know what the word says, but do my results betray that knowledge? Or do I get on believing it by walking out on it and I get the promise of God? Psalm 119:30 gives us the bottom line. Now, the bottom line, quote unquote, is a financial term for the net profit or loss of a company, as shown on that last line of the financial statement. That's why it's called the bottom line, or in our taxes, the bottom square or block of space. But figuratively, it signifies there is no negotiating because this is the final word on the matter. And Psalm 119:30 gives us that bottom line regarding the light in our lives. And I'm going to read it from the New English translation called the Net Bible. It says, your instructions, God's instructions, the word, are a doorway through which light shines. They give insight to the untrained. Now, the untrained are those who have made the good choice for life and blessings in this verse. They have already made the good choice. But they're still in the process of learning right from wrong and distinguishing wisdom from folly. Isn't that all of us in these corruptible bodies? Won't we be learning and discerning until the Lord returns for when we are truly complete in all things? Complete perfection will only be in our new bodies. That is why the measuring stick in this life is the sincerity of our love for God and for our neighbors. Some virtues of sincerity that I think of are soberness and honesty, patience and compassion, kindness and forgiveness, a deep and solemn regard for truth, demonstrated by our loving and willing choice to arrange our lives under the authority of God as we read it pleases Him, to submit to Him, to be submissive and admit that we don't know it all, and there may be other ways that we can learn and advance in life to do our job. 2 Corinthians 10:12 talks about comparisons. And I want to read verse 12, and I will read 13 and 14 as we go, from the J.B. Phillips New Testament. Of course, we shouldn't dare, Paul tells the Corinthians, we shouldn't dare include ourselves in the same class as those who write their own testimonials, or even to compare ourselves with them. All they are doing, of course, is to measure themselves by their own standards or by comparisons within their own circle. And I think at offices and church groups, I can't think of any place in the world where we have not either seen or been a part of those kinds of comparisons. So, by their own standards or by comparisons within their own circle. And Paul says, and that doesn't make for accurate estimation, you may be sure. King James says comparisons according to the standards among people are not wise. Other translations say comparisons and measurements of that nature show a lack of understanding. Now, can those things be fixed? Mm-hmm. Certainly. Certainly. Are we going to shun people because we see that happening? No. God says, love them. Pray for them. Love them and pray for them. And then be available for how God is able to work through you or how somebody will be able to work with those people. Sometimes we see things, but maybe we aren't the person that's actually going to reach them. But we see things and we pray and we believe for the interest and the good for that person. And then God works out how they get His word and His understanding. I might see something, but it might not be my ways that will touch that person's heart. But I can pray that a person will come along who they will just receive. And that person will say, wow. And then my prayer is answered. I don't have to be a part of it all the time. None of us do. So verse 13 and 14 go on to tell us what we are to do. Verse 13, this is still in the J.B. Phillips. No, we shall not make any wild claims, but simply judge ourselves by that line of duty which God has marked us out for. And that line includes our work on your behalf. So, isn't that our line of duty from God as ambassadors? We work on behalf of others in the name of Christ. It's just so beautiful. I mean, why did God send His Son? Why did Jesus come? Wasn't His line of duty that God marked out for Him work on our behalf? Wouldn't you say? Verse 14, we do not exceed our duty when we embrace your interest. When we embrace your interest, as it says here in verse 14, there's no way that we can exceed our duty. For it was our preaching of the gospel which brought us into contact with you. Jesus Christ embraced our interest, wouldn't you say? In fact, it's the entire word of God given. The entire word of God is given with you in mind. It was all in your interest. Everything that has happened with the eternal God who had no beginning and no end. Everything. We have that legacy. That's our family's background. That's the joy we have of being in God's family. I see we saw a show on TV last night about auctioneers, and they were endeavoring to get a grandfather was endeavoring to get his grandson to go into the family business. Well, we were born into the family business, born again into the family business. And our family business without end has been, I thought it was a bird pecking on the window, and I thought, what's going on? Excuse me, there was a little pecking noise. I'm sorry, I've got to find my place here. So, you know, our family business has always been in the interest of others. God embraces your best interest every single second of every day. As ambassadors for Christ, we examine ourselves against the truths of our calling in Christ. Now, no two ministers are identical, and I kind of alluded to that when I said I might see something, know something, but know that I may not be the person that actually helps. No two ministers are identical. No two believers are identical in their communication of the scriptures. So what that means is one person would love to sit and listen to me or sit and listen to you. Another person might prefer to listen and follow the teachings of another person because their soul life just communicates it differently. Mm-hmm. Nobody has to feel bad about that because we all are important in the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. We have a very unique vessel. We're an earthen vessel. And wouldn't it be kind of high-minded to think I'm the one to reach the whole world? Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's not going to happen. Because we are together, we are one body. Together. That's the importance of the one body. God has called each one of us as it has pleased him. And each one looks to the word to remain in the work God energizes within their hearts. And the only thing you're going to be if you're focusing on the work of another is you're going to be distracted. You're going to in some way compare yourself. And in some ways you might say, well, I'm better than them. Or you might say, oh, my God, I don't even know why I do this. I just don't have that charisma. I don't have that entertainment value woven in my teaching. I don't have any jokes or, you know, you can just feel like you're less than. So comparing is just not on the table. It's not on the banquet table. Mm-hmm. So the work others are doing in fulfilling their calling can be admired. It can and should be inspiring for sure. It should inspire us, but we don't get caught up putting ourselves and the work we do against the unique way they do their work. Mm-hmm. Because we're both useful. We're both important, but maybe not at the same time and not in the same way and maybe not to the exact same people. You know, I understand, and I'm not talking about the way that we sometimes say to somebody we really admire, when I grow up, I want to be just like you. I understand that. That's not comparing or desiring to be that person exactly. You know, that's just a sweet compliment. That's not what these verses are talking about. Our work, though, is to embrace the interest of those we teach, of those we reach, of those we touch. Our bonds in the one body are through the gospel. They're through the new birth. And believers, do not misuse or abuse those trust that come. I mean, when a person says to you, I'm a believer, Well, doesn't your guard just kind of go down? I mean, there you are with a brother or a sister. And your guard kind of goes down and you just feel comfortable all of a sudden because you have they have affirmed to you that I'm a believer. And it just is sweet. There is only one God-breathed word. There's many of us, and we can say it many ways, but there's only one accurate God-breathed word. But how disciples, teachers, ministers approach communicating those truths vary. There are so many ways to relate an unchanging truth so that it touches a heart. And isn't that your prayer when you speak to people or someone new? I mean, we come to fellowship on Sunday and somebody in the group is, it's very typical for them to say, oh, this week I spoke to this person or that person, and they pray for them. When it's time for prayer, they pray for them. So that's our prayer when we're speaking to someone new or we're ministering to a brother or a sister in Christ. You know, Larry and I are simply two of many people in the body of Christ who present truths to others on a regular basis. And for us, we have come to know and understand how we enjoyably exercise and maintain the vibrancy and excitement for personal study, for teaching, and for serving the body. For us, charting a loosely laid theme gives us kind of a destination. And it's like taking a trip. You can't wait to get there, but you enjoy the scenery along the way. Maybe you have some little games that you play for car in the car or on a trip. Maybe you have a deck of cards or you're looking for certain license plates or, you know, all that. So, but it kind of gives us a destination having a loosely laid theme like we had last year with the expectations, raising the bar. There are plenty of off-ramps and on-ramps when we travel with a loosely laid theme. And at any moment, we expect God. It is our earnest biblical expectation that he might reroute us in some way. And we're open to that. Like you're driving along and your GPS says there's a wreck in 4 miles, but you're still on the fastest route. Or it might say, there's a wreck up ahead, and they reroute you. So we're always, on a trip, you're always looking for those. And of course, all of you realize by now that my husband loves the development of presenting topical truths in series. And I have kind of adopted his likeness for that. Yeah, we both enjoy a series that will take a topic and cover all the different aspects of it rather than jumping maybe from one thing to the other every week. But it's because if we're going to deliver the word joyfully and vibrantly, who's the first person that's got to be excited?
Yes.
That's right. So you have to learn yourself. What makes you excited? And that's why I say you may not be able to be like so-and-so who's teaching the word over here. Because they may do it a totally different way. And although you may love their teachings, doing it their way might put you to sleep. It might bore you to death. Right. Although you like the effect what they do brings for their teaching ministry. So, you know, it's And I think about it in all these years, and we've received a lot of suggestions that we should, perhaps. But in all of these years, we have not offered a structured Bible class to be the banner for Beloved of God. It just doesn't work for our soul life. For the way we keep excited about the word. You know, I mean, going out in the neighborhood utilizing the things that we know, going to our little favorite spots and speaking in tongues and thanking God for understanding on a specific thing, perhaps, or just in general. Studying and looking up things in different texts, those things just thrill us to no end. But then when you click on our website's teaching tab, you'll see there are a number of classes, so to speak, because you see series, part one, part two, part three. Some of them have eight parts. Well, these teachings delve into a number of subjects and are available to anyone at any time, day or night. And that excites us. That while we're sleeping, somebody could be on our website getting healed. It's just the two of us here. For, you know. So, isn't it nice to know that you're able to kind of have your life be serviceable 24/7, even when you lay down to sleep? Mm-hmm. It's still working for you? Mm-hmm. See, that concept just thrills us. And many, many, many churches and websites have that now, where you can go in and put in a topic and all these teachings come up. Ours isn't quite that sophisticated. You have to kind of look around. But, like I said, we're just these two people. But there are a number of things, so to speak, and they do deliver on a number of subjects. There are many series with 2 to 8 parts, as I said, all right there to serve up the bread of life. And it is to the best of our understanding at that time. Tomorrow, next week, in the next 6 months, we may know something that kind of, I wish I'd known that then. Well, sometimes Larry's been known just to turn around and reteach the whole thing because of the additional understanding he has that can touch someone. Accessibility to the website, which is not Beloved of God, it's www.myinternetchapel.org. It makes the teachings available to you at any time. And as of today, at this moment, there are 267 teachings that can be enjoyed on your time schedule for the benefit of your personal study, or you could get a group together in a fellowship situation and listen. You could even forward a link to someone that you are working with or ministering to. So that sort of brings us to the new year at hand. Well, what are we going to do? So to set the flavor of the teachings in 2020, and we are going to build, as I started out, we're going to build upon last year's increasing our expectations, raising the bar of our expectations. So next Sunday, the first Sunday in the new year, Larry will begin teaching a series on our position in his kingdom. In the early 2000s, I'm not sure, but I think it was maybe around 2004, 5 or 6, somewhere around there. Larry taught on this subject, but he really now wants to expand it into a teaching series. So we think it'll probably be 3. But it could be 2 and it could be 5. Who knows? Throughout 2020, our prayer is to reach hearts with who we are in Christ, who you are in Christ. What is that position that you have in the family of Christ, in the body of Christ? To the end, we all experience biblical expectations in epic proportions. Isn't that living life above the ordinary measure? But you know, there's another way to say that. And I chose epic proportions. So, one scripture for looking into this over-the-top lifestyle is found in 3 John, starting in verse 2. Well, actually verse 1. Because it says, and this is King James, "The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." An elder, and that's who John was, as an elder, as detailed in Timothy and Titus, any elder would wish for the beloved ones what he thought they should have. No. He would wish for the beloved what God would want them to have. It's much bigger. So John's work focused on the line of duty which God marked out for him. He worked and served on behalf of the beloved ones. He was immersed in the family business. He was immersed. He was true to his duty as he faithfully embraced the interest of the believers. He respected the access he had to the believers through the new birth and through the gospel. He didn't take evil advantage of his bond to their hearts, where if you tell someone, oh, you can be comfortable, I'm a believer, and then you turn around and your works betray what you just said. The point is, verse 2 is the will of God for his beloved. As we have been repeatedly working, God's will does not change, nor does a true minister's desire for believers' well-being change. However, the actuality of our prosperity and health is congruent. It means it's right in connection with the well-being of our souls. And the word soul is talking about the heart of the mind in this verse. Prosper means to have a prosperous journey. It's not just finances, because if you need a car, or if you need healing, I think of needing healing. He wishes health also, but money isn't actually going to guarantee that you get well. We know that. Remember the woman we read about in the Gospels? She lost everything she had trying to get well and became worse. Had no money, and her health was all but gone. But health denotes being sound and therefore in good health. For a healthy journey, we need to be sound of mind. The body responds because the body is subject to the mind. The soul or the mind is like the mission control. It's the it's the center where all of the orders are dispersed to that physical body. So ultimately what the body does is what your mind tells it to do. It's as simple as that. The connecting words even as mean in proportion, just as, to the degree that, or as according as. So here you have a prosperous journey, and it's going to be in proportion to the prosperity that's happening in your heart. By adhering to God's doctrine, reproof, and correction, we are able to attain a high-end journey and secure eternal blessings. Our prosperous journey, which is God's will above all things, comes into fruition as we prosper in our fellowship with God. And then, as I prosper in my fellowship with God, what becomes seen on the outside? God. Mm-hmm. The nature of our Father. The way that Christ was upon this earth. Isn't that what we're supposed to do? Mm-hmm. Isn't that in the best interest of the family business? Mm-hmm. Isn't that in the best interest of others whom we are here to serve? So our teachings for 2020 are dedicated to the development and understanding of our fellowship with God. Knowing and believing who we are in Christ. And really for us and our closing personal message to you, your prosperous journey going forward is our heart's desire. You are in our daily prayers. And at this time, I'm going to walk this microphone over to Larry, so you may hear a few little clicks and rumbles. But he's going to close by reading some significant verses from 1 John.
Thank you. I'm going to read from 1 John chapter 4, verse 9, all the way through 17 from the New International Version. Starting in verse 9, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice, or a full payment in a sacrifice for our sins, to take care of us so we start fresh, clean, new. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. And love covers a multitude of sins. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit. We have the gift of Holy Spirit, and we can manifest it at will. And we have seen and testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. That's God. God's aim and his projection is for the entire world. And it's going to take a lot of different people to reach the world. But the only way we can reach them is through Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is the only way to the Father. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God, as they put the word on in their lives and walk forth with it and live walking by his gift of Holy Spirit. And so we know and rely on the love of God, or the love God has for us. Whoever lives love lives in God, and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment in this world. We are like Jesus. And when that day of judgment comes, we will be exactly like Jesus. So there's no need to fear. And I'd like to just give you a blessing going into 2020. The Lord bless and keep you, and may the blessings of the of the word be peace and prosperity unto you and with your whole family. May his blessings of health abound with you and all of your family and your friends, acquaintances, and fellow brethren. Let 2020 be the beginning of your rise to prevail in all things through Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Bless your hearts.
Well, bless you so much. We appreciate you being with us today. I do have one closing announcement, and that is for you to be very watchful of emails coming to you from us between the 2nd and the 4th of January. Because before the first Sunday's teaching in 2020, we are going to send out an email regarding some ministry business. We are very excited to share with you concerning those plans. So have a wonderful week. Have some great time over the New Year's. And we'll be with you next year. We love you all. Bye-bye.